that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is May 1st, 2021. And we welcome you here to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Little overcast this morning. Had a beautiful sunrise, oranges and reds and golden colors. That just what a beautiful sunrise it was this morning. But we've got a full crew on, and we'll bring everybody on this morning, and then we'll get going. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Tim from Nebraska, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, good morning, sir. Glad to have you.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we welcome you. We say good morning to you. We know you're tuning in down in Florida and out in California and up in Maine as well. And we welcome you this morning. We hope you have your coffee. We hope you have your Bibles. And where it goes from there, who knows? We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit if you have a phone call, if you have a question. And guys, I wanted to, I just found out one of our brethren passed away. One of our callers, Joe from Pennsylvania, that would call in, lived, I think, up in the upstate, out in the out in the sticks, passed away last week. And so his brother had called and let me know. And but anyway, he moved on to the kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah, been a long time caller. Well, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll get going.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program. We pray, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we go. We pray, Father, for this land, for your people across this land, Father. We ask that you look down upon them and that you bless them and that you see to it that their cup overflows with blessings from your throne. We pray that you guide us and direct us, Father, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you war with those that war against us. And we recognize that we're living in perilous times, difficult times, Father, and we know that there are those that are fighting against us, fighting against you and your people, Father, and they seek to destroy this land. And, Father, we want them off the land or under the land. That's our desire. That's our request. And we pray, Father, that you station angels about us, put a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate. Ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you just deliver us and that you save America again. We pray, Father, for a deliverance from the hands of our enemies and those that hate us. And, Lord, we just call upon you and we praise you, O Lord Jesus Christ, for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray a blessing upon you and we say, blessed is our King, and no king but King Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Yes, amen. Amen. So, well, Zach, we haven't had John for a while. I didn't know if you had anything specific you wanted maybe to talk about this morning, or if you wanted to lead off with anything. Not to put you on the spot, I've got a few things written down here we can sure start on, but thought we'd ask you first.
Well, that's okay. I would like to start out by saying that I am really encouraged by some of the people in my community and just going around talking with them. They are starting to get the notion in their minds that, you know, we have to do something or else we are going to lose our country. And they're not worried about themselves. And that's what actually makes me so excited, because they're worried about their children and their grandchildren. And I'm hearing that statement being popping up over and over again, like, you know, we got to do something or else our children's not going to have any, you know, they're not going to have anything. What are our grandchildren going to do? And so they're starting to get into that long-term mentality as far as a nation. And don't get me wrong, you know, when I die, I want to make it to heaven, but I also want to make sure that my children and grandchildren and their children have a secure future, that they can raise their children. And because if our Lord Jesus doesn't come back before then, that's most of our job, is to provide that security for the future generation. And I'm seeing people's mentality starting to get that way. And despite what the news is saying, about COVID and all this other crazy stuff that's going on, the people's minds are there. The people's minds are starting to turn towards this land, and that is what I am finding very encouraging. I didn't really watch the news that much, but I just talk to people. And people that I wouldn't think, that I've known for a long time, wouldn't think to have that mentality. I'm seeing that those seeds starting to come up, and they're just little, you know, just little cracked seeds, and like they're looping, you know, and it's coming, and I'm seeing that mentality. So like Richard, what you're talking about today, like, you know, this invasion that's going on down in Florida and about, like, with the police and stuff like that, they're going to need them, because our people's minds are starting to get right. I believe that. I honestly believe that, and I find that very encouraging. So I don't know if anybody else is seeing stuff like that, but I've got something to turn over to the board to see if they're seeing the same thing.
Amen. That's good. You know, I've had three different neighbors, associates, come to me over the last year and a half with similar things. You know, one mentioned it to me, asked if I knew the deal with the Federal Reserve, how they're not federal and how they're, you know, made up of five families and they control all the money and all this, and how concerned he was. And then a couple other with other, and I'll call it biblical issues, you know, of the day. And it's because they're concerned, because they see these things, they're waking up, I think is the term. It is. And got a neighbor down the road, her and her husband were talking the other day and about that very thing, concern over their son, You know, what's it going to be like for him? He's just a little guy now, but what's it going to be like? That word about their children, that word posterity is what came to mind. And, you know, in the preamble to our Constitution, the way it's used is, it is that this nation was formed and the Constitution and the paperwork was drawn up to guide this country to, quote, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And if you ever see the the writing, I don't have it here in front of me, but you know, the men that signed the Declaration of Independence, they were, almost all of them eventually were just wiped out. It wasn't that they just retired and, you know, lived on their little plantation and no, they had their, they gave their fortunes, their lives, for that liberty, the blessings of liberty for themselves and for their posterity. They were concerned about their children and their grandchildren and the generations that would come after that. And it is encouraging to hear that you're seeing that as well, that people are starting to see that again. You know, Jason, the way you've been talking about seeing people planting gardens and buying more seeds and stuff over the last couple of years, especially last year and this year, I think that ties into it, that it's not just, you know, it's kind of a returning to some of the basics and being concerned about things other than, you know, what Hollywood's doing or what's the latest fad.
Yeah, and if you look at what people, you know, used to be entertained by and what people are doing now, it's completely different. You know, you have these television shows where they had 50 million watchers, you know, 5 years ago, and, you know, now they've got 8 million watchers. You know, people have turned off the TV and are getting away from a lot of that stuff, and they're realizing that there's a, you know, it's a bunch of garbage. I mean, you have a congressional address, and hardly anybody watches it, or if they try to watch it, they end up having to turn it off. Because it don't make any sense at all. You know, it was, yes. I turned it on to try to watch it. It was pathetic. I talked to several people yesterday that I asked them, I said, did you try to watch that? And they're like, oh, I tried, but that's all I could do was try. Yes. And I mean, people are, you know, they're just doing their own thing, and they're doing other things, and you know, that's exciting. And you know, it's I'm encouraged by it as well, as you see people that are farming and gardening and ranching and things like that, and getting away from the hustle and bustle of, you know, the political stuff that you know, does not make a bit of difference, or that's out of their control. And you know, our people are, you know, they're thinking differently. They're thinking more clearly on a lot of issues, and there's a lot more people that are starting to see through, you know, this garbage. They call it white privilege, and everybody's trying to get woke, and they're starting to realize that, hey, we've got Muslim problems in parts of the world. We've got immigration problems in parts of the world. We've got problems with nobody wanting to show up for work. We've got problems with these millennials that you know, are you know, just trying to feed off the government. And the people are talking, you're hearing more terms, you know, that we're heading into socialism or we're heading into communism, and people are starting to realize it, you know. And it's not to, you know, it shouldn't scare us. It should, you know, be exciting, because we know who's in control, and we're seeing things changing. And, you know, it is the enemies of God are the ones that are making an uproar against us right now, and they are going to fail. I mean, it's, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I was looking at, kind of along the same lines, I was looking at the fact that there's a big article out on a bunch of the trade publications, and they're talking about this massive chicken shortage. And I was like, wow, now there's a business to get into. You know, you could raise some chickens. You know, I mean, sell them and get to going on that, or you can buy chicks, or if you can't get chicks, well, you can put your own, you know, find some viable eggs and hatch them and raise chicks and get into it. I mean, I think that's the way Christian people function. Our faith in our God is such that it's like, well, you know, they put that, there's a lot of people out there who look at that and see that as a doomsday, type thing, you know, like, oh my gosh, we're not going to have, you know, and God's people are like, wow, what a unique opportunity. How about that? You know, it's industrious. It's an opportunity to take care of our families, an opportunity to further some work from home, cottage industry type stuff like that. Isn't that a, you know, it's just your viewpoint in your faith situation, you know? So, I was kind of thinking it all over, and you know, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, you know, that kind of sums up the whole mentality of people in a nutshell. Are you going to freak out over all this, or are you going to have faith and know that God is, and that he rewards them that seek him, and move on from there? And I think our pastor always taught us to do that. I mean, and I think that's just one of those opportunities.
You know, Tim, you said, you know, like about people freaking out when they see all this stuff. I look at it as a awesome, great opportunity, because like Richard and like we were talking about, like the chickens and the garden and all that stuff. Like when you engage in that activity, you are taking your destiny into your control. You are putting your faith in God that he gave you all the material that you can survive, and that yeah. You don't need them. You do not need them to survive, to provide your own food, to provide food for you. You don't need to go to Walmart. You don't need to, like, you don't need it. You are literally engaging into warfare with them. You are not giving them your time, because that's what money is. Money is a representation of all of our time. And when we yep. give them money, you are giving them energy. It's like, I don't care if you're buying a pair of Levi's. You are giving somebody your energy. Don't give it to them anymore. Engage them. Go to war with
Amen.
Them.
Because Amen.
They are not fighting us with guns. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to be ready for a gunfight, you know. And I would suggest go play some paintball to learn about some tactics. But look at how they are engaging us. They are trying. They're scaring us with the vaccine. We got to walk in. Like, you can't walk into the grocery store without a mask. Well, you know what? I really don't need a mask or a grocery store.
There you
if
go.
If you really sit down and think about it.
If that's you right. Yeah,
engage them, guys. Boycott yeah. them. Like, don't get me wrong. I like a Coca-Cola Classic every once in a while. What they did with their employees to be less white, I will never drink a Coke from them again. I will never yeah. buy a Coke from them again. And there's a lot of people that feel the same way because of that. So it's happening. It's going to boycott them miserable, horrible, antichrist, Satanist worshipers. Fight them.
Amen.
Fight them with your money. That's what I think.
Vote with your pocketbook. That's what I say. Yeah, you've got a tremendous amount of sway over this corporate, you know. They think that they're so entitled, and it's corporate entitlement. They think that because they run that part of the market that they can tell everybody what they're going to do. And it's all about fear, and that's what we're saying. I think, Zach, what we're all saying here is the Bible, you know, it says there's over 170 times in the Bible it says fear not. You know, I mean,
yes.
it's an important thing, and that fear is, it's an energy consumer. It's a time consumer. It erodes at the very foundation and fabric of your family life and your Christian life, because it steals your energy and it steals your will, and it also places someone else in control of your situation that's not God, because God doesn't have fear. You know, I mean, not like that. I mean, we fear God, but the reason we fear God is because we don't do what he says, that there'll be repercussions. But you know, it's just, we can be blessed, and we can, and he gave us everything we needed. I mean, so, amen. Good comment.
Well, you know, like, when I get done with this this radio broadcast, I'm going to start putting in potatoes in my garden. And, you know, and I truly believe that I am actively working against the system by doing that. And the Satan system. And I am promoting God's system. I truly believe that. And, you know, I mean, and you can call me crazy and radical, and I really don't care, but I know I'm right.
Well, one of the scriptures that I think that I brought up a couple weeks ago was Philippians 1:28, and I think that I was read the whole, well, a couple of the verses there this morning, and starting with verse 27, it says, "Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And this too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer on his behalf, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." And, you know, I mean, basically we've got to strive to, you know, to do the right thing and conduct ourselves in the right manner and not fear the enemy. And, you know, I mean, you know, when you read in the scriptures and it says, "In no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of their destruction, which is a sign of destruction, but of salvation for you," I mean, and that's what we need. There's a key there. There's something that it's cause and effect. If we do this, God is going to deal with them.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
End of story.
See, and I like in that scripture you read there, and everybody is of the same mind. And I think that that is where we have gotten off track. Like, we have to be of the same mind. We have to have marching orders, and, like, it's got to be biblical. But we need to be of the same mind. Like, we're going to take this Babylonian system out, and how are we going to do it? And I think it's a lot simpler than what most people realize. It's like, we have to actively work, like, just doing little things, and God will see us through, and it'll gain momentum, and when that mind that gets all united, they're done. They are done.
Amen.
Correct.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, they have their words for it. You know how that stuff. It's just to them, they're still trying to figure it out. They're doing studies on it and everything. You know, I think Pastor talked about it years ago. That was that 100 monkey thing or whatever. You know, about how these things move, and they just don't. They're like, well, you know, how does that happen? How does over here break out with the same thing that halfway around the world is happening? You know, with no communication. And it's like, well, the first thing, there was communication. Just because it was on a spiritual level that you couldn't understand, or a godly level that you couldn't understand, God manifests all those things in his people because, like what you just said, Zach, they're of the same mind. You know, we are of one mind, and we are striving to. And God's way is very simple. First thing is, it's got to be God's way. Second thing is, you know, fear not, and all the other stuff gets added to you. You just got to get the simple things in line first, and then the rest will work itself out. You know, I mean, everybody wants to jump into, well, what about this, or what about that? And it's like, no, just focus on the simple stuff. The rest will come. You know, God, he'll work it out. He's there.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. You know, there's a change is happening in our society. And God works all things for good. But things are definitely changing. And Zach, like you mentioned about those people in your community worried about their children and their grandchildren. See, people are starting to see that. They see the headlines that California releasing another 76,000 violent criminals. Early release. Yeah, we, you know, I know the judge sent them to 50 years, but we're letting them out in three. And people see that, and they see the lawlessness that results. They see the invasion going on in during these first 100 days of the O'Biden false presidency. They see that, and they, you know, they can't help but think, well, geez, that hadn't happened before. And they see these changes happening because our society is changing, folks. It is. And you know what? It needs to. It needs to. And when you read through the Bible, when you read through the Old Testament, you see that God used the things that are happening in our nation. One, he would bring a people in to punish his people. He would bring in another people that maybe you didn't understand their language. They would come in like the locust of Joel and consume everything. And our non-churched, you might say, people are starting to see that that is happening, that the lawlessness is increasing. And praise God, there is some concern. If it's not for them, I think it's concern for them as well. Just like in that preamble we read, it's to establish liberty for ourselves and our posterity. You know, gun sales and ammo sales are all but non. You can't even find the stuff anymore because they've gone through the roof. And so the people they're seeing this change happening in our society. Was talking with a brother the other day about the police retiring. I mentioned it just before we went on the broadcast. You're having police retire in droves. Your big cities, St. Louis, in New York City. I heard New York City police are retiring at 600% that they were 2 years ago. And so, granted, police are not all right, not all perfect. Nobody is. But when you look at it across the nation, at what's happening, especially in these big cities, that these police are—they're getting out. They're getting out. They are literally damned if they do and damned if they don't. Now, there's some good ones out there. There are, but they are retiring in droves. Well, they're going to be replaced. You know that—that's not going to. It's just that we're not going to have any policemen in the cities, and so you look at the upper echelons of most of the police forces have been replaced by queers or minorities, and that's who they're going to replace them with. That's who they're going to put in. Those are the tactics and the, again, it's war. It's part of the warfare that we're in. They're going to be replaced with people that do not have a Christian American ethic, that don't have pride in this country, that don't love America, that are like some of our representatives that that think, you know, that we've just been bad forever. And major change that's happening. And again, it needs to happen. It needs to happen. No, not the anarchy and chaos, although I think that's what's going to happen. But that's what God has used in the past to wake up his stiff-necked, hard-headed Israelites. And some people woke up, some didn't. You know, some, when you read that remnant, were just a remnant, just a few leftovers. But it's going to be enough. It's always been enough to continue with his people, and it will be today for those that are spiritually prepared, and as much as they can, physically prepared.
everything yeah. that you're talking about.
I got that video clip, and we were talking earlier about that Canadian pastor that kicked the cops out.
Yes.
You want to comment on that?
No, I was going to. I just got one comment, Jason, and then you we'll go back to what you were talking about there. Is everything that we're talking about there, like that, even that pastor, is necessity creates motivation, okay? So, like, I remember in my 20s when I was first out on my own, I was on my own, you know? And, Jason, I know you can relate to this. Necessity created the motivation to survive. And that's really what it was. So, like, to me, it's nothing new. You know, I mean, I was out on my own. I mean, so, you know, and, like, my two brothers, like, they know. Like, yeah, like, if we didn't get this job done, then we weren't eating. We were not going to eat. We have to get this job done
right.
for this person. We have to collect check, or else things are not going to go well for the next 2 days. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah.
what we're talking
well, yeah.
about is, what we're talking about is like, okay, so these police are going to leave. Necessity creates motivation. It creates an action. It creates a different type of action. It literally, it sounds like a trap that they're going to set in their, it's going to blow up in their face. Just like that preacher that you're talking about, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think so, that, I mean, I was encouraged by it. Basically, they've come in, and I just did read, I don't know, in the last day or two, that they went to a judge, and they're trying to get a court order to come in and shut him down, you know, permanently. But basically, you know, and I don't know everything that this guy believes or what he's preaching by any means, but I know that he's taking a stand, and when they come in and try to shut him down and say that, you know, you're violating a mandate, he tells them, you get out of here. You're not welcome here, and will stand up and scream at them and put the fear of God in them, and they turn around and they walk away.
Amen.
So it's he's taking a stand on something, and you know, I appreciate that. And it took, you know, there's some people that are putting their tongue to the top of their mouth and they're saying no, and you know, that's what that ties in with what you were saying, Zach.
Yeah. For sure, and people, it's starting to grow. People are getting tired of it. Like here in Michigan, our governor a couple of days ago said, "Well, we'll start lifting these restrictions as long as you guys start getting your vaccinations." And this one lady that I know, she's a nurse, and she's like, "Well, that's blackmail." She's like, "That's crap." You know, and she works in the medical field. So, you know, you have to do this or else, you know, we're going to continue on with the way things are. So basically, you know, she's being tyrannical. And I don't know what's going on in Colorado, but if people just don't do it, what are they going to do? They can't do anything. It's like, you know, like you hear about everybody talking about gun control and this and that. Would you mind? I would like somebody to explain to me what organization is going to go house to house and collect all the guns across this nation. What nation? What group of? Is it going to be the FBI? Is it going to be the local sheriff? Who's going to do it? We got to understand who's in charge here.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some men up there who are willing to say no too. I mean, you know what I mean. And I, you know, some of them are, they all got that law wrote on their heart when they do that. Whether they confess God or not, that law is still in place, and they say, "Oh no, we're not doing that." You know, and I applaud them, and I praise, you know, blessed is the name of the Lord when I hear them say that. It's like, wow, that's they're still there. So.
Yes, they are.
Yep. You know, I've seen a T-shirt around town. I've seen a couple of them around town. Actually saw one in Colorado as well, and it's a quote attributed to Ben Franklin: "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." And you know, people are there again. As was said before, they are waking up. It's not just the same old, same old.
Well, those men who started this country, they sacrificed, and it came out of, if you look at the numbers, and if you look at the things that went on, you would have just told them to just pack up and go home.
Yes.
You know, you guys don't have anything. You don't have any weapons. Your weapons are old and backwards or not up to snuff. You don't even have good gear or food or supply lines or any of these things. And their response was, no king but King Jesus.
Right.
You know, and it was like, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
And you have to realize that military at that time was a lot different than now. Men are conscripted now, or, you know, they put them in, and you have little choice in some cases, you know, when they're drafted and things like that. But back then, those men could literally walk away at any time they felt that the needs of or what they were doing didn't align with their beliefs. And they stayed there barefooted, you know, or starving and different things like that, and sacrificed to make sure that this country was created. I mean, that was their diligence, that was their sacrifice, that was their duty, and it was all given for God, family, and country, you know. And I think that when we see that, it's like, wow. And God honored it, didn't it? I mean, you know, so...
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left. The phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Guys, have you heard anything? I've just seen a blurb or two about, you know, I'd heard some stuff last year about Puerto Rico seeking statehood to be the 51st state. And then lately, we've been hearing a little bit about D.C. I guess there's a push out there to make D.C. a state as well. Didn't know if anybody had any information on that. I don't. I just have heard a couple things and have had a couple people ask me, and I've just had to say no. Haven't seen anything. Haven't really looked into that anymore. Didn't know if anybody had any comments or thoughts on that.
Well, the reason they left. Go ahead, Zach.
Go ahead, Tim. No, you go ahead.
Well, the reason they left D.C. out as a state was because that was the foreign entity dealing, and that was also their housing, so that the states had their authority. You know, it was like really what it was kind of like the federal government's authority ends here. That 50 square miles surrounded by reality. You know, that's what D.C. is. It's 50 square miles. And reality exists all the way around it. Those people that go in there, a lot of times they have their head in somewhere for the warmth. But we look at those things and see that. And of course, they want to make it a state now because of they can get more votes and they can get, and that also breaks that dam of the poison that is contained inside that cesspool. There, then that lets it, you know, that gives it the ability to spread on out, because it would create basically a federal monarchy there. They think that, you know, they can make rules, and it changes a lot of things that under the legality issues that aren't available to them right now. I mean, they may be doing it anyways, but you know, they like to change the reality into what they want it to be, just like we do when we have our faith in our God. So there's that going on. That's kind of all I've got right now. I mean,
Zach, did you have a comment on that?
I don't know anything about it. That's all I was trying to say. I have no knowledge on that, so anything I would be saying about it, it's not there.
Yeah, I think, again, it's just part of that change. You know, part of the destroy your past, destroy the, you know, like you said, Tim, the purpose and the reasoning and the way that it was originally set up, change. They play in their Great Reset, their Fourth Industrial Revolution. They have their plans. Our God sits in the heavens and laughs. And, Brother Jonathan brought a good message on Passover, and that's what his message was, Passover, the Great Reset, God's Great Reset. And it is where we should be focused. Brother Paul sometimes mentions, hey, let's not worry so much about what they're doing, but what God is doing. And I agree with that. They have their plans. They're trying this. They're trying that. And it's not working out for them. It's not. I was in a big box store the other day and heard on the loudspeaker, attention shoppers, we have a few extra COVID-19 vaccinations. You can just walk right up to the pharmacy and we'll get you your shot. So just come on over. And I think that shows a big change. I saw a report from Colorado that the shift is they've had all these shots available and they've shot a bunch of people. But now it's to the point they're trying to convince the other half to come get the shot, that they're at about 50%. And the shift now is not, well, we got the essential people done and the over 65 and the, now, and we've opened up all these age groups and whatnot, and people aren't going in droves like they thought they were. Seeing a shift to try to convince people to go get the shot. Instead of them lining up. I think that's encouraging. I think it shows, again, that their plans, the plans that they have, that they thought were going to happen, are not happening.
I had a guy tell me that he went and got his vaccine because in case Canada opened up the borders again, he could go up trout fishing. That was his reason to get his vaccine. And I just looked at it. I didn't even know what to say. I just, okay. Whatever, dude. We're getting wrong. I like trout fishing, but I don't like it that much.
Right, right. Yeah, we're being invaded from the south. We have this science experiment, as John calls it, in this plandemic that's going on. Our entire society is changing. Babylon is falling down. And we're going to get a shot to go trout fishing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let you know where people's some people's priorities are.
I know some people like that as well.
I don't know what is actually going on with the D.C. Thing and them trying to make it a state and everything, but I do know that one of the things that is happening is there's chaos. And, that there's, there's so much confusion in the camp of the enemy, and that's one of the things that we've been praying for a long time, and we've been putting the mighty weapon out on a regular basis, is calling for that, the power of DC's to fail. And there's been a satanic spell that has been cast upon this nation, and I've just got a feeling, I've heard bits and pieces and stuff, and not knowing what's going on, I know that that has got to be part of what is going on, is that it's failing, and they're, it's like Humpty Dumpty. They're trying to put it back together, and they're trying to rebuild a system, but when it's crashing, they don't know what to do, and it's out of their control. And just something in my spirit's witness to me that is, it is an answer to prayer, and they're trying to fix it, and they can't fix it. So, praise God.
Amen. Good point.
Amen.
Really good. Yeah. Well, yeah, D.C. needs to go away. I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be made a state. It needs to be, like, we got along without D.C. for a while. Well, we got along better without it, you know, and then the whole, you know, War of 1812 thing happened and all that, and here came D.C. I mean, for those who don't know, a short history lesson is D.C. was not the capital of our nation. Until, you know, after 1812. I mean, so not really. There was a lot of that goes on. A lot of people don't know that, you know. It's so it's kind of an interesting concept that Philadelphia was. So. I also think it's interesting that we're seeing this big labor shortage right now because they're paying people to, or encouraging people, let's put it that way. I mean, through money, through sickness, through all of their fear tactics to not work. Of course, some people don't need very much encouragement to not work, you know. God said, you know, God honors your work, and he says, you know, the labor is worthy of his hire. You know, don't abuse the person who works for you, because I'll hear. God has a soft spot for people who are willing to work. And I think that this is another interesting or blessed thing to see these. Do you have any idea what your labor is worth if you're willing to work as these things continue to go on? That's a blessing from God, you know, that it's like, and you can kind of look at it however you want. That's the way I look at it. But I just see a lot of those things go on there that are like, well, and the problem with people is you can't hardly get some of them to work anyways. So just encouraging them not to for a little bit pretty much ruins them forever, short of a miracle from God. So, you know, some of us have been up against it, like you can get anything out of them. So when you find a live wire, you want to keep them, right? So, anyways, I think that's another blessing.
You know, when this whole thing started and people were, you know, they did the big lockdowns and stuff, and, like, they locked down our state, I forget. Like, we had guys as the tree service that didn't work for 2 months, and they were on unemployment and stuff like that. And, you know, all those guys came back, but I know people that they still haven't gone back. And they're absolutely thrilled to stay at home. They're excited about it. And my mentality when all of that stuff was going down was I was worried, how am I going to, like, what am I going to do to pay my bills?
Yes.
My brain never once thought, I'm going to go on unemployment. Right. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go to, and, like, that was, like, I was 180 of that. I was going into survival mode. And, like, you know, me and Jason were talking on a daily basis at that time, and he was feeling, what are we going to do? Like, I was just like, whoa. And, like, I got to freaking lay the hammer down. And everybody, and I just, and now, like, why was I so worried, you know? And, I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have work to do. I mean, I don't know what people's thinking is. I don't understand it.
Well, and it just serves to always interest me how people's minds work, because people with that mindset, like yours, Zach, they find a way to get it done. You know what I mean? It's the motivation. I mean, that ethic runs much deeper than the surface veneer. It's like, well, we'll have to find a way to handle it. You know, I mean, we're gonna continue on, and we're gonna go to work, and we're gonna stay busy. And they find, I guess, you know, they find a way to make it happen. And the people who don't just kind of throw their hands up and go, go check the mailbox and see if there's a check in there. You know, I mean, so, you know, so it's like, and the people who, there are those of us who aren't tame. That's what I always call it. You know, it's like, you know, we're not tame. And, and it's like, I don't want it, I don't need it, and I won't take it. So, you know, it's kind of one of those. my God will take care of me, and I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I can say this without repercussion, because I've been there where they're ever met the road, and it's like, but even if you, even if he doesn't, we're still going to serve God, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things.
Amen to that. Well, Remnant, as we're kind of wrapping this Coffee with the Wranglers up, last opportunity, I want to remind you of the Passover Makeup Day. It's tomorrow. You can read about that in Numbers 9. You can read about it again in 2 Chronicles 30. There's other places that they observe the Passover Makeup Day, but those two will give you a good understanding of it. Again, Numbers 9 and 2 Chronicles 30. And so we encourage you to, if you missed the first Passover, the Passover on April 2nd. The Word gives us a makeup day. Don't take our word for it. Read. Again, Numbers 9, 2 Chronicles 30. And see for yourself. And it's to be an everlasting remembrance. It is for today as well. And no, it's not a Jewish holiday. Okay? So get that out of your mind. Okay, get a little ahead of the trout fisherman that Zach was talking about. Okay, it's serious times, and the Bible tells us to be of sober spirit during these times. And this is something to be sober about, and to realize and to recognize it for what it is. And it's the only, as far as I know, the only opportunity God says, "Hey, I give you a makeup day." Okay, if you couldn't do it. Then it's not just, well, don't worry about it. It's not just, well, do it tomorrow or do it whenever. No, it's God is a God of order. And, he's a God of law. And when we do our best to follow his order, to follow his law, to do it his way, the way his word tells us, as opposed to what we think up, well, we're blessed because it's pleasing to him. You know, what parent, when you tell your children something to do, what parent is not pleased when the child does it? You know, when they do it. And that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. And so you have an opportunity. It's been mentioned several times that the feeling is this is one of the, if not the most important Passover, and it might be the last opportunity. We never know. And so the Passover makeup day tomorrow, we suggest that you gather, even if it's just you and your family, in the twilight, in the evening. You can read these scriptures, Numbers 9, 2 Chronicles 30, and include 1 Corinthians 5, 7. That's in the New Testament, and that's where, yes, it tells us that Christ is our Passover. We understand that. If you read those other two chapters, you'll see how that all ties together. How Christ, well, don't have time to get all into it now. That's a full lesson. But we encourage you, gather tomorrow in the evening, in the twilight, you know, as the sun is kind of going down, as the daylight portion of day is ending, and have communion, read this, and pray. Remember that God delivered from that death angel. He delivered those that were obedient. And where is it? Psalms 105, is it 105:37? I don't have it quite memorized. I think that's about where it is. Where God says that when he brought them out, let's take a look. Yeah, but he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick or feeble people among them. And as our pastor taught, it was because they partook. They partook of that meal. And so we have that promise. Well, guys, again, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us. We do want to invite you. You can come to church with us tomorrow, and you can join us at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 for you guys on the West Coast. You can click on the live video stream, and you can join us at church. We'll have a timeless pulpit message that is just prophetic and needed today. Brother Jonathan will have a live message. We'll partake of communion. And then hopefully tomorrow evening, if you missed the Passover, you can have the Passover makeup day. Well, men, thanks a lot, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha!
Ha! Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
What's really going on?